SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Monday morning to start a new week, live on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. And what a new week it is. We've got conference tournament action already underway in men's college basketball. A lot of women's conference tournaments this weekend as well. A coin flip to decide the one seed in the SEC women's bracket goes the way of South Carolina in favor of Texas in the final week of the regular season at the high major level in men's college hoops as well, where teams are going to be battling for those top spots in tournaments and regular season conference crowns as well, on full display on a Sunday afternoon in the Big 10. We'll recap everything we saw yesterday, what we saw on Saturday as well from a huge weekend in college basketball.
Yeah, it's good stuff heading towards. And again, more teams are going to be starting their league championships this week. The big boys get started underway next week. You get used to playing that afternoon basketball and get that in your lives, which will be so much a part of it over the next 3 to 4 weeks at this point. So it is an exciting time. And also the coin flip, like, we have tiebreakers in so many different categories to have a coin flip, which is ridiculous. Now, the grand scheme of things, is it really going to matter all that much in the SEC girls tournament? Maybe so, maybe not at this point. But it brings me back to like the late 1980s, where if you were reading a book called Friday Night Lights that explained how the Permian Panthers actually made it to the playoffs in 1988 through a coin flip at a truck stop year. Yeah. That's what we should have had right there to add the high intel, where everybody brings their own coin, flips it, and you see who's in or who's actually out. At least this was only for one and two, not who's in or who's out.
They did televise it, though. So some marquee must-watch appointment television to see SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey flip up a custom-made coin with South Carolina's logo on one side and Texas's on the other. The Longhorns did snap the Gamecocks' 57-game win streak in SEC play earlier in the regular season, but they split the regular season set between the two schools, which is why they had to get to the coin flip. It feels like we have six tie-breaking scenarios a lot of times. I think at a certain point, the SEC was like, listen, we got 16 teams. Let's just flip a coin and make it easy to coin gods, as Dawn Staley did say after her Gamecocks got the benefit of the flip, looking favorably on South Carolina. It is now March. It is a beautiful thing. On the second day of March, what a Sunday slate within the Big Ten Conference. Huge implications for that title race in the regular season. And Tom Izzo in Michigan State looking for number 11 in his 3 decades in East Lansing. In Michigan State, if they want that Big Ten championship in this regular season, had everything in front of it over a 5-game stretch in a 15-day run, that if they could win 3 or 4 of those games, they would be in bowl position. How about all 5, including a huge win yesterday at home in East Lansing inside the Breslin Center, 71-62 in a top 15 tilt with a home win over number 11, Wisconsin. The Spartans do cover as a 4.5-point home favorite. Here is that 5-game stretch that Michigan State went perfect through. A road win in Illinois, a home win over Purdue, a road win against the rival in Michigan, the buzzer beater from 60 feet away on a Wednesday night on the road in College Park, and rounding it out with a top 15 win over number 11, Wisconsin. 5 consecutive quad one games, 5 straight quad one wins. The only team in men's college basketball that can say that this year resides in East Lansing.
And they play defense, and that's always been the calling card, right back to the Flintstones back 20 to 25 years ago. This team plays defense. Tom Izzo will have this team ready to play come tournament time. And this might be one of the better versions of Tom Izzo's team over the past, let's just say, 5 to 10 years. Why? Because they defend and they can score. And also, we talk about the SEC being so tough. you just listed a gauntlet of games to go through. But you know what I like best here? You go on the road to Maryland, who's a very talented team, and you win by a buzzer beater. You celebrate like you won the Super Bowl, but you know what? You came right back and played a top 15 on your home court and handled your business. I love to see that. And one of the topics that we talk about here is styles make fights here. You know Wisconsin's going to want to get off from the three-point line. You know Michigan State can defend it just about as good as anybody in the entire nation. 5 of 32 from three-point range, right there was the killer. They'll give you the three-point shots, but they'll defend it right on you. If you can't make your three-point shots, you're not beating the Michigan State Spartans. Another victory for them. Down at the break at home, powerful second half, win by 9 points. Big-time victory for the Spartans.
Big-time victory for Michigan State. And, Donnie, in this five-game win streak, all five quad one victories, three outright in every game booked as an underdog on the road over Illinois, Michigan, and Maryland. In their two games at home, fewer than a five-point spread in favor of MSU. They cover the number in both of those. Michigan State has had a calling card all year, strength in numbers. The only team at the D1 level in college basketball with 10 players averaging about 4.6 points per game or better. 10 players played yesterday, everybody scored. And yet Jaden Akins, who is still their leading scorer, scoring 19 points yesterday to lead the Spartans. And they stifled a Badgers team that has been the best offensively in Madison we have seen in nearly a half century to only 62 points. And both teams got off to a very hot start. Total of 143.5 does stay under. Donnie, I saw this game get to the under 16 and the under 12 in the opening half and get up to 156.5 live. That Michigan State defense, when it matters most, down the stretch in the final 5 minutes of the second half, is always stifling. So a huge victory for the Spartans, who then got some help in hopes of claiming that regular season crown within the Big Ten. As Illinois goes on the road and upsets number 15 Michigan, the Illini are starting to round into form early here in March. 20-point road win, 93-73. Illinois wins outright as a 3.5-point road dog in Ann Arbor.
You know what I love about this game, too? Hey, look at this game at the half. Well, it's close. 31-30. One who's going to prevail. Probably the home team here. We just talked about Michigan State being down at the break. Maybe they can come back in the second half with a strong surge. And by the way, Michigan did score 43 points in the second half, which usually would be good enough to win unless you give up 62 points in one half at home in a second half to an unranked rival here. That's an embarrassing performance for Michigan. Now, granted, are they going to be in March Madness? Yes, they are. Are they going to head towards the Big Ten tournament? Yes, they are. But my goodness, if you want one team here that says, you know what, let's just start to play our best basketball at the end of the season when it matters most to make it into March Madness and maybe even be a factor in the Big Ten tournament, that's what the Fighting Illini did yesterday. Like, hey, you know what? We're coming next week. You better get prepared for us. A 20-point victory on the road against Michigan, which they scored 93 points. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah. A really balanced effort. Trey White, 19 points, 11 boards, sensational. Kylan Boswell, 7 points, 9 board. Kasperis Yakachunas, that freshman, the talented player for Brad Underwood and the Illini, looked great yesterday as well, burying 3 threes and got some help off the bench. Benham Rickhaus got off to a great start in the second half with 3 made triples. And Jake Davis, a perfect 2 of 2 from deep. Illinois was embarrassed inside Madison Square Garden by 43 points just 2 weekends ago, maybe even last weekend. Yeah, just last weekend. And this week, the Illini bounced back with 2 consecutive 20-point victories against Iowa and Michigan. Illinois has won 2 games this year by at least 20 on the road against top 15 foes, becoming one of a handful of teams in the last 70-plus years in the AP poll era since 1950 to do just that. Really good basketball out of the Illini. And Donnie, because of the Illinois victory, Michigan State needs only 1 win in its final 2 games to claim Big Ten title number 11 under Tom Izzo down the home stretch of this regular season.
Yeah, look, it looks like they're probably going to get it done, which, again, building up to March Madness for Tom Izzo and his boys here. I love the way they play. They're tournament tested here with the way they play. But also understand this. You look at the Fighting Illini, who did play Michigan State, loss. Wisconsin lost, both top 15 teams here. Then played top 5 team Duke loss. Back-to-back wins, but a top 20 team at home. Purdue, get on a run, Illinois. Go ahead.
Build the momentum in March. More of it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are now officially in the month of March. It is Monday, March 3rd. We are 5 weeks away from a national championship game to crown a national title winner at the end of the men's NCAA tournament. We are under 2 weeks away from Selection Sunday, DRS on Saturday. It was the opening day of this wonderful month that we all love for the madness and chaos that will ensue. Dramatic moments in the most significant games of a season. Enter Jemai Meshack and those Tennessee Volunteers on the very first day of March in a top 10 tilt in Knoxville. Meshack from just inside half court buries it to give Tennessee a huge victory at home against Alabama. 79-76. The Volunteers pick up a big home win in the top 10 tilt on a Rocky Top.
Now, how do you like this? Underbackers rejoice with that late three-point shot. What?
Yes.
What do you mean? 79-66 underbetters, you know, rejoice in this point. That game was headed to OT. Another 20 points would have been compounded, and you would have lost that total. That's a nice win for the Tennessee Volunteers. And is there one team, like, I understand, look, 23-6 and 12-4 in the SEC for Alabama is a sensational season. But do you get the feeling, like, just with me, Ben, like, this is a team you can't ever trust because you just feel like it's going to go wrong at the worst spot. And you say, like, Donnie, wait a minute. It was 76-76. The guy hit a monster triple to beat Alabama. It just feels like this is the way Alabama is going to get beat. Like, oh, their three-point shooting's going to go slow. They're not going to play defense when we know they actually can play defense here. It's one of my least trusting teams that is so much fun to bet on and bet against because of the games that they can have, which usually are 150 or higher on a day-to-day basis in the SEC. Great win for the Tennessee Volunteers. An amazing shot to win that game. Big time on Rocky Top. But the SEC, man, they've been delivering all season with these type of games.
Yeah, they absolutely have. And what a shot for Jemai Meshack and Rick Barnes, because the Volunteers now, DRS, are in pole position to be on that one line. I thought it might be Florida, maybe Alabama, Tennessee could be that second team out of the SEC to be a one seed in fewer than 2 weeks when we get to Selection Sunday. Fifth ranked in the country, maybe making its way up in the AP Top 25 that will be released this afternoon in four consecutive victories for the Volunteers. Nothing to sneeze at any point of this SEC schedule, certainly right now. Donnie, to your point about Alabama, they were a 3.5-point underdog, so they do cover by the hook. They're 5-1 against the spread as a dog this year, including four outright victories. They did keep the game as competitive as you could hope for. Mark Sears, their best player, delivering with 24 points. I do get it. I do think Alabama's defense is better this year than we give them credit for. The pace they play, the flow of which they play, they're never going to be a top 25 unit, top 10 unit that stifles you on that side of the floor. Game did stay under 158.5. I had the over. I was hoping for overtime, but still a key victory for Tennessee. I think we have some really good teams out of the SEC, as the odds, of course, indicate. Four of the six best prices to win a national championship from the Southeastern Conference, and none better than that of Auburn. Yet another statement out of the Tigers on Saturday afternoon. Going to Rupp Arena and winning in a big way. A plus 330 price for Auburn to win a national championship as the favorites, and a 16-point win against Kentucky. The Tigers were about a 3.5-point favorite, upwards of that. They make good on that number. Huge victory for Auburn on the road in Lexington, making yet another statement. That's your number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament.
No, it is. And by the way, again, styles make fights sometimes. We know how smooth Kentucky is on offense. They want to get to the three-point line. They want to make their three-point shots. But a top 10 team in the country at defending the three-point line, that's the Auburn Tigers. 94-78 final, and it's just so simple. Auburn, 12 of 26, very efficient on the road from the three-point line at 46%. You look at Kentucky, very un-Kentucky-like. 4 of 17 from the three-point line, only 23% made at that point. Because quite frankly, they shot 46% overall from the field. field. But this game was over in the first half. When you talk about statements made, like, yes, that final score shows you. But to put up 49 points in Rupp Arena when that place was on fire to start that game, that shows how talented and tough Auburn is. And if you can defend the three-point line and make your shots and maybe have the best player in the country, yeah, things are looking up for your chances to cut down the nets in March Madness. No doubt about it.
There is no doubt about that, DRS. And I like what we do on Fridays because oftentimes we don't have the odds just out for Saturday because of how early we do the morning show. But we do the KenPom projections, and we know what the matchups are going to look like and who can take advantage. I knew as soon as the line opened up on Friday afternoon, I was going to bet the over. 163.5, bet it, closed closer to 165.5, 166 in the marketplace. And, of course, it goes over. Jani Broome, the Wooden Award favorite entering this weekend. Not even a stellar performance. Miles Kelly, 9 made triples for Auburn and 30 points in that starting lineup. Yeah. The Tigers in prime position to claim that SEC regular season crown. In fact, did they claim a share already? 15-1, 3-game advantage over Florida and Alabama with only 2 games remaining. I believe so,
No, I think they have to. Did they clinch the share? They clinch it overall because I saw them on the bus once that 3-ball went in from Tennessee, so they got a share. Yeah, so they'll wrap it up there. Yeah, they had. I saw them celebrating, so we're good.
Speaking of shares or outrights, of course, we learned that St. John's clinched a share of its first Big East regular season title since 1991-92 with a home victory against Seton Hall inside the Garden on Saturday afternoon, their first outright Big East regular season crown since 1985. 10-point victory against the Pirates delivers exactly that. Now, St. John's was a 20.5-point favorite, so that game may be a little bit closer than we anticipated. But Donnie, when you think of this year for Rick Pitino in the white suit, in a whiteout inside the world's most famous arena on Saturday, the first Big East regular season outright championship for the Red Storm in 4 decades. That, the Rick Pitino effect.
It is. And also, understand this. They play defense. But come on, Seton Hall. Only 48 shot attempts in that game, which included 2 of 11 from three-point range and 9 of 21 from the free throw line. Shaheen, hey, I wonder if that Peacock's job is still waiting for you here in the offseason.
A little bit more around the Big East and plenty more in college hoops coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some other big college basketball results from the opening weekend in March, from Saturday and what we saw on Sunday as well. Donnie, we knew that Florida would be close to a double-digit favorite, 8.5, 9.5-point spread back in Gainesville, hoping to bounce back from a road loss against Georgia earlier in the week. The Gators do absolutely that, winning by nearly 20, 89-70 against Texas A&M. The Aggies on a 4-game slide. Not where you want to be. On that downward trend entering the month of March, Florida gets right back. And the Gators still that fourth best number to win a national championship at plus 950.
Yeah, and again, top 5 team in the country, the Florida Gators, unbelievable on offense, 42% from three-point range, didn't have too many free throw attempts, and didn't convert at a crazy rate of 68%, but still easy enough to beat Texas A&M. Yeah. And you're right, it's like catching a falling knife at this point for the Texas A&M Aggies. Yes, you play in a tough conference, you're playing quad one every single game, but you don't want to head into the SEC tournament on that down spiral, then get bounced in round one of that tournament here before you head into March Madness. At this point, you got to come away with some victories, but again, do we expect them to go on the road to beat the Florida Gators? Probably not, but at the same time, get beat by close to 20, got to be better than that.
Yeah, absolutely so. Not where the Aggies want to be right now under Buzz Williams. Duke making quick work of Florida State on Saturday, winning by 35 and putting up the century mark 100-65. The Blue Devils have won 6 straight games. Of course, only one single loss in ACC play to Clemson, who beat Virginia in Charlottesville, covering as a 6.5-point favorite. Duke covers as a hefty favorite against FSU. They have also covered in all 6 of these consecutive victories. Duke has a great opportunity to claim that first ACC crown under John Shire. Of course, they just need to win out and do that. 2 more games for the Blue Devils, including the regular season finale against North Carolina. UNC needs some quad one opportunities. That regular season finale against the Blue Devils could provide just that. How about Vanderbilt continuing to win games? 4-point win over Mizzou as an ever so slight home dog against the Tigers on Saturday in OT, 97-93. And Donnie, a team we have told you to keep an eye on, Iowa State. When healthy,
yes,
with how they play basketball, based on the trends, they could be a team to keep an eye on in March. The Cyclones, a 20-1 price, and we're finally at full strength on Saturday at home in Ames with the return of Keyshawn Gilbert. They win by 17 against a top 25 foe in Arizona, 84-67. Iowa State easily covering as a 6.5-point favorite. Everybody was there. Mm-hmm. Curtis Jones off the bench. Nate Heist delivering some threes off the bench as well for TJ Otzelberger. Milan Momcilovic also performing very well. And Keyshawn Gilbert back in the fold. Iowa State went healthy. A team that is tailor-made to make a deep run in March.
No doubt about it. And also, if you look at the Big 12, one of my favorite college basketball conferences here, like two ticket prices here that make a ton of sense. And on that graphic, which we popped them up, Iowa State and Texas Tech, because you hit the nail on the head. Sometimes you're going through some of these games where they're taking losses here, and you say to yourself, what happens if the team is at full strength here, and what sort of price point am I getting? Texas Tech, you see 30-1, and then Iowa State at 20-1. Those are two tickets I'm going to find myself playing here come March Madness, but I think the timing is right here, and also from that Saturday game for Texas Tech, I didn't know how well they would be or healthy they would be on Saturday. They got a big lift by getting a couple starters back. They made their three-point shots and went into the fog and picked up a key victory. So Iowa State and Texas Tech, they're going to be on my radar for one of those longer shot tickets here that can do some damage.
The Red Raiders winning outright in Lawrence as a 4.5-point underdog, a game we talked about as well. If Texas Tech is healthy, they can beat everybody. In Kansas, things are so bad that Bill Self, after the game, released a statement about Kansas just trying to play better basketball at the end of the regular season. A statement you only normally see, Donnie, unless somebody is in trouble. But I guess just from a basketball perspective, KU is exactly that, in trouble. Now, 8 Big 12 losses for the Jayhawks this year, the second consecutive season of 8 Big 12 losses. Donnie, since the year 1980, Kansas has missed the tournament just three times, 1982, 1983, 1989. The only 3 years up until these previous two, Kansas had lost at least 8 conference games. Not a good sign for Kansas. Not going to miss the tournament this time around, but they're not going to be on the 4 line, at least, where they have been the last 20 or so years. The Jayhawks are struggling mightily after a second consecutive season booked as the number one team in the preseason poll in that AP Top 25. Let's talk some NBA news on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go around the association from the weekend. And early in the weekend, as Dr. Donnie almost predicted at the All-Star break, one of the things that could hold back the 76ers of trying to make the play-in tournament in the Eastern Conference or earn a playoff spot would not just be poor play, but poor play compounded by the idea that if Joel Embiid, still dealing with a knee issue, wasn't fully healthy, the 76ers would call it a lost season and rest Embiid for the remainder of it. And that's exactly what happened this weekend. Joel Embiid is out for the remainder of this season for Philadelphia because of those lingering knee issues. Donnie, because you kind of predicted this could happen at the All-Star break, I wouldn't say you are shocked or surprised, but what will be your feeling about this year in Philly?
I like it. I like the fact that they shut him down because there's no reason to play anymore. You're not going to win an NBA championship. You're only going to do more damage to a knee. Why not get the knee fixed here, have a complete offseason to rest and rehabilitate that knee, and then come back in full force next October when hopefully the team around you is a little bit better, get some guys back from injury, make some moves, and can maybe be one of those top 4 to top 5 seeds in the Eastern Conference. Having said that, though, This was played so poorly. And understand this in the NBA. It's different than a lot of sports. It's guaranteed contracts and almost does, like, as long as you're a superstar, you are just minted moving forward. Because anybody in the NFL would say, hold on now. I have a wide receiver. I have a tight end. I have a defensive back that has chronic knee issues. No problem. Let's lock him up for five more years at hundreds of millions of dollars. It just wouldn't happen. But in the NBA, it's just a rite of passage. Once you're a superstar, doesn't matter like what physical shape you're in. As long as there's a max deal on the table, you will pay that. And if you don't, some other team is going to pay that here. Because the Sixers, if they were smart, would have said, you know what? We don't have to sign you now. Then he becomes a malcontent. Then he wants out. Then you trade him for pennies on the dollar. So you just give him the deal. But I think this opportunity means next year it will be a fresh slate. Now, the issue now is the Philadelphia 76ers need to tank out because they do have a top six protected pick, which means if that pick ends up 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or further, they lose that. And for this whole season up now, you're going to tank the end of the season. You at least want to get the fruits of your labor and possibly get a top five pick just to save it here. We'll see if they can do that. But Joel Embiid being shut down is the right move for the Sixers. It was a travesty of a season, even with the victory over the weekend. 21-38 with a max roster. Stop the madness.
Yeah, and Donnie, when you look at what Embiid has done, of course, there was that graphic during the broadcast at the end of January ahead of the All-Star break that Philadelphia had played something like 850 games since Embiid arrived in Philadelphia, and he has missed now more than 400 of them. It's not a great recipe for a guy that is making a lot of money from the 76ers, and yet availability being the best ability, Joel Embiid has not really shown that. Only 39 games a season ago, only 19 games this season for Embiid. When he has been out there, there is no question. He is one of the best basketball players on this planet. But when he has been out there, and if he is going to be out there, that remains the issue for a superstar who has really been plagued by injury the entirety of his NBA career, even really before his career started when he is drafted out of Kansas. But Donnie, knowing that, the 76ers, who had dropped 9 consecutive games for a marquee home game on Saturday night, hosting the Golden State Warriors as a 6.5-point home dog, they pull off the upset inside the Wells Fargo Center. 126-119, a game that will forever be known in Philadelphia as the Quentin Grimes game. 44-point performance as the 76ers snap that 9-game slide. As you said during the commercial break, 17 games below 500, but don't let those Sixers get hot at the right time.
Nope, don't let them do that. In California, at the Staples Center, now the Crypto.com Arena, you can show up to the Grammys. But in Philly, baby, you show up to the Grimes out here. What? You 18 of 24, 6 of 9 from 3-point range, 44 points. And my God, make your free throws. You went 2 for 8. You go 8 for 8. You got a 50 burger in the city of brotherly love. That was astounding. Yeah. Like, because I'm expecting the Sixers to just be non-confrontational, if you will, on a night-to-night basis. Like, hey, guys, you want to come in here and get your win? Come here and get your win. But if I expect, like, hey, Maxey went for 45 points. Like, and again, they beat the Golden State Warriors without Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey going 2 of 14 from the floor for 5 points, and they still scored a .126 because my guy Grimey was out here dominating. That's a crazy box score.
And still, Philadelphia, just 2 games out of what would be the 10th spot, the 4th and final play-in tournament position in the Eastern Conference, trailing the Chicago Bulls by only 2 games. Mm. It is remarkable how bad you can be at basketball and still flirt with the postseason in the NBA when 10 of the 15 teams in a conference appear in the postseason in some form or format. Wild. And this is not a Dubs team, Donnie, that entered playing bad ball either. In the 8 games Jimmy Butler had played as a Golden State Warrior, entering Saturday evening with the Dubs, Golden State had won 7 of those 8, covering in all 7 victories on a heater entering Saturday night, and yet still got beat by Quentin Grimes, Podcast P, the inept Tyrese Maxey, and the Philadelphia 76ers. You just do never know how this is all going to play out. By the way, that playoff price on Philadelphia, plus 820, that play-in tournament number, 2-1. Maybe some life once again for the ticket, I bet, on the 76ers, plus 270 to be an Eastern Conference playoff tournament team because I thought they would be in the play-in tournament with a very talented roster. I'm not going to, you know, rip up the ticket just yet, I'll say.
Yeah. Grab those NBA championship things. Just double down, Ben. Buy out of that ticket and buy in on the Sixers winning a championship and really raise that banner. It was quite a shocking performance for me, but also understand Golden State coming to town. Like, hey, Jimmy, quote unquote, you got some back spasms. Yeah, sit this one out. We'll handle our business fairly easily. They weren't able to do that, which again, you're right. The Warriors are playing great basketball coming into that game. That was just surprising that the Sixers had no business winning that game. I don't want to see them go on a winning streak of at least two games. I think the Trailblazers are next up for them. So for me, Sixers, you had your fun. Grimes had the game of his career. Fall back, people. Fall back.
Yeah, maybe not for me, though. Let's keep winning some games. DRS, the longest winning streak in the NBA actively, is the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have now won 10 consecutive games. They just keep winning. Overtime last night at home, avoiding the upset against the Portland Trailblazers, but winning 133-129. It is why we said at the All-Star break, the Cavaliers would have to stumble mightily. I mean, lose a ton of games down the stretch for the Celtics even to be in consideration for that one seed. It is not going to happen despite a Boston home victory yesterday against the Denver Nuggets. 7-point home win, 110-103 for the C's. Boston covers as a 5.5-point home favorite. And yet, Donnie, despite win number 43 this year for the C's, they trail by 7.5 games against the Cavs, who were trailing by a lot in that marquee matchup on Friday night against the Celtics and rallied all the way back for a huge win. I think proving to everybody the Cavaliers are not just a good regular season team, but could make some noise to upset the apple cart, if you will, around the Eastern Conference this postseason.
No, they can. And Friday, I like the Boston Celtics in that game. But then you see later in the day, multiple starters sitting out here, the line starting to drop. And again, Cleveland got that haymaker early on and rallied to come up with a big victory. And then also, after a game where you had so much juice and energy on the road in Boston, you come home and still able to handle your business against the Portland Trailblazers. And how about DeAndre Hunter in the starting lineup? 32 minutes, 8 of 15 from the floor, which included 5 of 9 from three-point range and 11 of 12 from the free throw line to give you 32 points. This team is good. I haven't checked the odds this morning, but when we were going over these numbers last week, it was a 7-1 price here for the Cleveland Cavaliers to win an NBA championship, I believe, or was it 7-1 to win the Eastern Conference? What was it?
Plus 750 to win the NBA championship, which is now 7-1. So a little bit of movement based on that regular season price.
Yeah,
it
like
was a plus 300 number around the Eastern Conference, if I'm not mistaken, now plus 280. Not a ton of movement, Donnie. Despite what we thought would be an impactful regular season game based on that result Friday night inside TD Garden. Plenty more coming your way in the NBA next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So a big Sunday slate around the NBA. 9 games, I believe, in the association from a Sunday afternoon into the evening hours. The Boston Celtics at home, bouncing back from the defeat to the Cleveland Cavaliers, winning by 7, 110-103 over the Denver Nuggets. Boston covers as a 5.5-point home favorite. The reason we show you that again is the Nuggets go down. Last Saturday night, Denver lost at home against Luka Doncic and the Los Angeles Lakers. I highlight Luka because he had his best game in a Lakers uniform. Last night at home, second consecutive game this weekend in a 3-day span against the rival, the LA Clippers, the Lakers get a victory, 108-102 last night. Line closed at 2.5 points in favor of the Clips, so the Lakers do actually win outright as an underdog, and both LeBron and Luka did play. You see it there. 6 straight wins for the LA Lakers, the longest active win streak currently within the Western Conference. The Nuggets lose, the Lakers win. Donnie, if the season ended today based on some tiebreakers and a slightly better win percentage, the Lakers would be the 2 seed in the Western Conference, trailing the Oklahoma City Thunder by double-digit games. But the Lakers, now the 2 seed. Most of last week, it was holding off the Rockets for the 4-5 split. The Lakers, winners of 6 in a row, now the 2 seed in the Western Conference standings currently.
And that would be big, too, because you're trying to avoid OKC, we figure is the best team in the Western Conference, play them at the absolute latest, would possibly be what? The Western Conference Finals at that point. And I do like what the Lakers are doing right now because you're winning with your two superstars, where they don't even have to be all that efficient. We just saw that yesterday as we talked about that 108-102 final. LeBron had 8 turnovers in that game to lead the team, didn't shoot all that effective from the field, but hey, Luka Doncic woke up and goes, you know what? Found my touch from the 3-point line, more efficient in that game, and that always works out. Because you have to understand this. You hear a lot of teams talk about when you get a new superstar player, it's like, hey, shouldn't you guys just pick up the basketball and be like, you know, in tune with each other? Sometimes that takes 5 games, 10 games, 15 games, 20 games, or a half of a season. The sooner these guys start to learn exactly where they want the basketball on the floor and who takes that shot at a certain time, they'll be a better basketball team for that. So I wasn't as intrigued with the Lakers a couple weeks ago, even after the trade. But as you point out now, you have to pay attention to the Lakers. It's not one of those teams by like, hey, they made the trade to the 7th seed now. You're now looking at a number 2 seed. You got to give them some respect here, and rightfully so.
15-9 against the spread this year for the late show as an underdog. They have been a good team when not even expected to win. 33 points for Kawhi Leonard. Our guy Norm Powell still dealing with something. Only 9 minutes played last night against the Lakers. The Clippers on a small slide, just trying to hold ground above the Golden State Warriors for that 6-7 split, not falling in the play-in tournament category. They have the same exact record, both teams 32-28. And Golden State avoided the upset loss on Saturday in Philly. The Dubs would be on the right side of the playoff conversation and not a play-in tournament team. Donnie, after the blockbuster deal and the acquisition of Luka Doncic now nearly a month ago, which is crazy to say, the Lakers' price to win the Western Conference was 9-1. The Lakers as a whole were starting to play better basketball. But after the acquisition of Doncic, a 9-1 number. Now, sitting in the 2 spot currently, winners of 6 in a row, winners of a ton of games since the middle of January, I believe 15 of their last 18, if not 16 of their last 19, Lakers a plus 550 price to win the Western Conference. So even after the acquisition of Luka Doncic, that number down by $3.50.
It is. It's, and I understand this. Like, we call it like the Yankee tax in baseball. Like, hey, the Yankees are supposed to be a minus 140. They're a minus 168 because everybody betting the Yankees and they're a favorite. You're going to get the same thing with the Los Angeles Dodgers. The reason I bring that up is the Lakers will have a tax. You know, one of the most interesting, let's just say, NBA franchises and most popular here gets a popular superstar and playing well basketball. They're going to attract a lot of bets at the box office. But for me, I do sit back and say, like, the price point is decent, but I don't feel them, and it's wrong to say, as an NBA championship contender. Which you're a 2 seed, you're going to be a contender. But it just doesn't feel to me like I would be really surprised if the Lakers ended up in the NBA Finals, and obviously even more surprised if facing, let's just say, Cleveland and or the Boston Celtics and coming away with the world championship. Now, we've seen different things happen before and injuries take place and teams get hot. I get it. But I like this Lakers team. And yes, I told you they deserve respect. But for me, it's not going to get a ticket from me to win an NBA championship or a Western Conference. I just don't feel they have enough firepower, particularly when they don't have a centerpiece here like Anthony Davis. But granted, you had to give up Anthony Davis to get Luka Doncic. Yeah. You got to make some of those deals. But I just don't have all that much thought in. I think the Lakers are actually one of the best teams in the NBA, if that makes sense.
So I bet them after the acquisition of Luka Doncic at that 9-1 price, thinking they would at least get to the second round of the Western Conference postseason, potentially even into the Western Conference Finals, and looking for some value. I still think it's Oklahoma City, then probably Denver, and then slightly below Denver, that being the LA Lakers out west. But I do think the Lakers can at least get to the second round and thus some value in that 9-1 number and maybe some value in that plus 550 price. 20-17. That was the mark for the Lakers on January 13th. From that moment, 18 of their last 22 have been a win. You know which team is probably not going to be a playoff team despite talent? That would be the Phoenix Suns. A slight home favorite last night, laying just a point, but basically a pick'em favorite against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Suns lose once again. Now 5 games below 500 as Anthony Edwards leads Minnesota to nearly a 20-point road win, 116-98. 44 points for the Ant-Man last night on the road to the Valley.
That's embarrassing. And even Kevin Durant is saying as much and probably thought he might get shipped out of town at the All-Star break or excuse me, the trade deadline there. Did not happen here. And this team is just playing out the string at this point. There are no more excuses. You know, the Sixers like, hey, we're going to shut down Joel Embiid. It just didn't work out. Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, all fully healthy at home and get absolutely blasted on their home court. Yep. That is as embarrassing as it gets here. Phoenix should not be making a play into the playoffs. But then again, they're probably going to disband that entire team in the offseason and look to hit the reset button. So much was supposed to take place in Phoenix with all of that talent, and it's been worse than anybody can ever imagine.
The Minnesota Timberwolves, also a great underdog team like the Lakers, two teams around the NBA covering in 62.5% of their games as a dog. The T-Wolves now 10-6-1 against the spread. Yeah, Donnie, Phoenix really out of it. Four games behind the Mavericks for a play-in tournament spot. It's a lot of ground to make up here down the stretch. Yeah. More around the NBA next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. We round out this second hour with an examination of the NBA championship odds. DRS, we have said it. Since the All-Star break, it's not the second half. It's the stretch run of this NBA regular season. 9 of 32 teams, that's it, have played fewer than 60 games, and everybody with exactly 59. We're talking about 20 games remaining to figure out your playoff positioning around the postseason formats in the NBA. Are you going to be a play-in tourney team, seed 7 through 10 in the respective conference standings? Are you going to be right into the playoffs, 1 through 6? Where will all those ping pong balls stack up if you are a team tanking, looking ahead to the lottery and the Cooper Flag sweepstakes? We start with those championship prices. Where, Donnie, the story for a majority of this NBA campaign has been the exact same thing at the top. A tier of two. The reigning champs in the favorites all year long. The Celtics a little bit ahead of the Oklahoma City Thunder, who is a lot ahead of everybody else. A 20-cent distinction between the Seas and the Thunder, plus 170, plus 190, before we have more than a $5 drop-off to the team with the best record around the NBA, who just split their four-game regular season set against the Celtics on Friday night in the Cleveland Cavaliers. But still, as the odds makers see it, it's really a peg of two. Boston, then Oklahoma City.
Yeah, if we're lining it up, too, there is a tier of three, right? It's the Celtics, it's the Thunder, and the Cavaliers. Yeah. But understand this, too. Like, the Celtics sit up top at a plus 170 price, which is over OKC. And correct me if I'm wrong. Like, the Celtics aren't going to be the one seed in the East, which means they're going to be the road team and possibly play, if everything lines up, Celtics Eastern Conference Finals, and that will be the home court advantage of the Cavaliers. Should the Boston Celtics win that, then they go to the NBA Finals, which I believe Oklahoma City, if they make it there, would be the number one overall seed and absolutely get the home court advantage there based on record. So for me, I say, well, it's probably going to be OKC at plus 190 or the Cavs as a 7-1 to price for me, which is the way that I would actually like to bet that. I understand. And again, the NBA is so much different than regular sports. We say, okay, Donnie, well, what did they do? You just saw the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Boston Celtics. But then again, we're saying, well, the Celtics weren't full gas in that game. And when the Celtics are in the playoffs and rested and focused on your team and everybody's healthy, that's a completely different situation. And it may be so. But I do think we just throw out the regular season sometimes and say, like, hey, it's really close. Like, the Cavaliers aren't a half game ahead of the Celtics. They're well ahead of the Celtics. They've beaten the Celtics. And as I told you on that game on Friday night, which I did like the Celtics, figuring that all their starters would be in the game and they weren't, that's one that you file away. Like, we can beat you on your home court. And we have home court advantage, talking about from the Cavaliers section. So for me, if there's those three teams here, I'm more apt to bet, if I had two of them, OKC and Cleveland over Celtics, just because of the price point. And I believe in home court advantage.
Plus 190 is the number, not just for OKC to win a title, but for the Celtics and the Thunder to see each other in the NBA Finals. Plus 190 already, and we still have more than a month to go in this NBA regular season, and then the playoffs. And yeah, OKC is sitting pretty out west. They have a 10.5 game lead over both the Lakers and the Nuggets for the one seed. They are very close to clinching that number one overall seed in the Western Conference. But Donnie, to me, the value is with the Cavaliers at a 7-1 price. I think Boston is going to win the East. I know the Celtics would be a favorite, even without home floor advantage against Cleveland in a potential Eastern Conference Finals matchup. And this is me saying, having seen the Cavaliers proven they can hang with the Celtics at the very least and beat the Celtics on any given night, I still would expect Boston to win the Eastern Conference crown. But at a 7-1 price for the Cavaliers to win an NBA championship, I think I'll have value if I expect the Cavaliers to be the one seed and be in that spot. And Donnie, there's another team around the NBA, along with those top three, that has won 40 games. Now the New York Knicks at 40-20. But we know the Knicks can't beat the best. So I'll take the Cavs and the Celtics, expecting that to be the Eastern Conference Finals matchup, and I'll take the value on the Cavaliers. There is that tier of three, really a tier of two, and then you got to double the price of Cleveland even to get to Denver.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, too, because a lot of times, like we just talked about NCAA action heading into March Madness. Like, you know what, man? Legitimate chance to win it. Iowa State, Texas Tech, 30-1s and 20-1s. I don't get those vibes at this time when you look at the NBA. Like, hey, let me take the Knicks at 22-1. Do you think that team is championship ready right now? And that's not an unbelievable price at 22-1. The Golden State Warriors, who get Jimmy Butler and like floundering around a bit on their season, as if I'm going to take them at 25-1. No, it seems like the best teams, because yes, we understand Duke and Auburn are the front runners, but there is so much value down the board in college basketball. There's not much value down the board in the NBA.
These best of seven series, the NCAA tournament, is exactly that. A tournament. Hour number three, up next.